Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
In the heat of the moment, I know you'll be by our side, listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
And Pete's here.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Yes, it's midweek, isn't
yes.
it?
Mm-hmm. Well,
it
is a strange
for us.
Day.
It is indeed. We did the live show on Sunday, but due to our generosity and the ruining of our recording by some silly sausage, we thought we can't leave you wonderful listeners ramble this for a week. So here we are a little later in the week than normal. But thanks to the International Week, we've got plenty to chat about.
What I want to know is how much ramble can you handle?
Yes.
The normal amount.
Yeah,
is imagine, the,
if anything, it's probably a little bit less, to yeah. be honest, because we are you know, times against this sort of thing. But yeah, we're being nice.
Or did you mean us?
I mean, that's just a general question. Just a general question. Put it out there.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, this is how we do it.
That was really tuneless.
Yeah.
Mm. This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Correct. Michael Owen doesn't like films.
That is definitely true.
We already knew this.
Yeah.
The reminder of it is brilliant.
He gave a list of films. Did he tweet this or was it in an interview?
He tweeted, yeah. He said, I hate watching films.
Yeah.
I've just watched my 8th film ever. Must have been bored. Hashtag hate films.
Yeah, but he actually went more than that and sort of said that after 45 minutes, he just can't watch any more films.
He listed the 8 that he's seen, didn't he?
And the verb he used was interesting because he said, these are the films I've been forced to watch.
Yeah. One of which was Jurassic Park.
Right.
What is he on about?
He's not going to get in the Hall of Fame like that, is he?
No. One of them was Seabiscuit, and I like the idea behind Seabiscuit, which is obviously about a famous horse.
Yes.
And someone's clearly said to him, you like horses. Films, but you would love Seabiscuit. He's about horses, and he still didn't like it.
No.
Indeed. Well, when I saw the Jurassic Park thing, I thought, I'll no have that.
You know the amount of sort of regular characters in this show that give us a lot of mileage? I sort of feel like Michael Owen's a bit underrated.
Yeah.
Because he does give us a lot.
But it's never for some crazy antic. It's always for something like this.
It's more understated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed it is, Luke. Indeed it is. Well, obviously he doesn't like films. So if you could have cast Michael Owen as a character in any film that's previously been released, which character would you have chosen, Jim?
Well, I think you've got to be careful as a director or a casting director or whatever if you're casting Michael Owen, because he's I don't think he'd be believable as a human man. I think you'd be better off casting him as a robot. Mm. For that reason, I would have him in the Terminator movies. I think that'd be good.
Well, as the Terminator?
As the Terminator, yeah, just because of the way he sounds. Like, but I would imagine he'd be so bored by the whole process and so not into it and just so busy thinking about football. He'd keep getting lines wrong. It'd be like, Aston Villa, babe, I will come back in a bit.
In a way, that does sound quite robotic. So yeah, it might exactly. actually work.
He does, doesn't
he? I want your claws in your motorcycle.
Yeah, and
have you visited
football.
Dubai?
Welcome to Dubai. Yeah.
I think that's a good start, Jim. Mm. I think that's a good start. Luke, what have you got?
I have got quite a good one here, and I'm Ooh. Actually confident-ish of getting the points on this one.
Wow. Ooh.
And I think you guys may agree with me when I say simply Kevin McAllister, Home Alone. He would be excellent as Kevin McAllister in Home Alone.
Yeah.
He's got pace,
yes.
so we'll get away from Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
We had pace.
The Wet Bandits. Yeah, but we're talking about an 8-year-old Michael Owen here, presumably. He's going to be rapid. Absolutely rapid. He's also got a little bit of a cheeky side to him. You know, well done, he's 13 and all that.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be very good. I think he'd be excellent. He'd look great in a little bobble hat.
But you'd hate being Home Alone because Kevin McAllister watches a lot of films. When he's at
Very
home,
true.
Which, you know, which is obviously a problem.
Well, no, he watches one and he just hones in on that one bit.
Yeah, we don't see the whole thing.
I imagine
an absolute movie binge.
I imagine he'd really enjoy. Yeah. He'd really enjoy hanging out with cardboard people. I think that's he would really enjoy that.
I don't think he'd notice.
No,
no.
He'd yeah. probably think he was at a swinging party.
Yeah.
Ha ha! You guys are singing from the same hymn sheet as me.
Yeah, just yes. like me. but I could also see him though. I can't remember the pranks particularly, but like when they sort of skidded off the floor, and was it micro machines or something you put down, or like the blowtorch on the head, or the iron in the face, or whatever it was? Just seeing him at the top
it's
of the stairs.
It's a horribly violent movie.
Yeah, it really is. I could just see him at the top of the stairs going, "Get in there!"
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well done, there, a pair of bumbling criminals.
Yeah. It would work. It would really work.
Peter, beat it.
I reckon Titanic, he could play Jack in Titanic because I would never... Because he has got a floppy hair. He had floppy hair when he was a kid, little curtains and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would never tire of watching Michael Owen drift away on a door. I would never tire of that.
Yeah.
I really would.
Why?
Because I don't like him.
Why not?
Because he was not... He wasn't very... Yeah, do you not remember like, the 9 months?
Newcastle.
Peter's still personally out of pocket from that.
I am, yeah.
England benefited from it, though.
I'm fairly certain I bought a shirt that season. Well, they didn't because they had to pay compensation to Newcastle, remember, because he got injured on international duty.
Yeah, sorry, what was this glorious period of England's history that I forgot about? England benefited, didn't they?
He scored a lot of goals for England. A lot of
he
goals.
He reminds you of Sven, and that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Your judgment's clouded.
Well, Sven, in my version of Home Alone, Sven could play the next door creepy goal with the... With the shovel in the snow.
No, this that man doesn't have an ounce of sex appeal about him.
And West Ham manager Fat Sam could play John Candy's character in Home Alone.
Yeah, king, the polka king of the Midwest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Works.
I was going to think, instead of Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Oh, right, yeah. It's not good. I'm not buying that.
No, he's never going to get that angry.
No.
No, I don't think he's got that range of emotion.
And if he did get that angry...
Going from angry to angrier. Even that would be a stretch.
Can you imagine
and even if he did do that, he'd probably pop a hamstring.
Can you imagine
it'd be great just, like, dragging one leg around, getting really angry at the ills of society.
Can you imagine how piss-poor that film would have been with Michael instead? I mean, I went on the same thing you mentioned it earlier, Karate Kid as...
Daniel LaRusso?
No. Well, you could have that as well, or... is it the third one or the I think it's the third one when the sensei from the first one does he not beat
Mike
up?
Barnes
does he not beat him up or something and just you know Neville Southall's Mr. Miyagi well done he's 13
and Terry Silver
I know he's older than 30 he's 22 in the
and the guy with the amazing like slick back ponytail Terry Silver
they're all in it I think Luke has got the
point. Thanks, guys.
I don't think that's fair.
I think it would have been an absolute disgrace.
Indeed. Well, let's go on to the European Championship qualifying because it's all going up. People keep moaning, Premier League's back on the weekend. Yeah, we love the Premier League, but it's been great, the international.
It's been amazing.
Mm. It's been much better than I think a lot of us thought.
Yeah.
Before we get on to that good stuff, let's talk about England. what do we make of all this Raheem Sterling business?
Well, it's hugely blown out of proportion, isn't it? I think the issue is, why has Hodgson gone public with it? This is always going to happen.
Keep it down, you'll wake him up. He's tired.
Well, yeah, Jamie Carragher said this, that whether he's tired or whether he's not, whatever the conversation is with the manager, it should be kept private. But other people are suggesting that Hodgson is kind of taking on Brendan Rodgers, because Rodgers has been quite vocal about his... maybe not criticisms, but his annoyance at Liverpool players getting injured on duty.
I think that is unfortunately, and while none of us are privy to the information of how players recover behind the scenes for England and for clubs, that's the nature of the beast. And Hodgson did actually say in his defence, our record that's returning players injured from international duty isn't actually that bad. And I don't have the stats, but he said that. But what I find is it's a bit unedifying and also a little bit pointless, because I mean, if you've got problems, just sort them out. There's no need to have a sort of public power struggle. I do think...
Which neither of you are acknowledging. That's
exactly.
That's a really petty thing.
Neither of them acknowledging that there could be a bit of give and take. And I think that also, you need to realise that it's worth doing it behind the scenes and getting it sorted out. And if you've got an injury or if you've got a player like that, Hodgson should just be saying that he's tweaked a hamstring or something like that. Mm. He needs a week's rest because he's had a little bit of a slight tweak. That's what you've got to say.
Although, is that such a great idea? Because surely Liverpool would react furiously to that, or at least their fan base would, if another player's come back injured, even if that injury is fictional.
Just pick up the phone to Roger and say, this is what's happened. We'll say he's got a slight tweak, rules him out of this game, he's expected to be fit for the weekend. And
Well, Roger said it was tactical. So I wanted to try Adam Lallana instead.
Yeah. Definitely better, because then I suppose Sterling had to come on, didn't he?
Yeah, because Sterling's a great player. But
I think better than that is that Raheem Sterling is 19 years old. You can't give him too much football. You're going to burn him out like so many players.
Like Home Alone's Kevin McAllister.
Exactly.
Or you could just say, I'm the England boss, fuck off. I'm in charge, don't worry about it.
I'll call it who I want.
Yeah, exactly.
If Redknapp was manager, he'd just try and sign someone else. I'll bring someone else in, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, Hodgson questioned the two-day low-intensity programme for those explosive players that Liverpool use it for, like Sterling and Sturridge, for example. But again, I kind of understand where Hodgson's coming from. He's got to defend his position. And if he genuinely believes he's right and they're wrong, and people are asking him a lot about this in the media, he probably thinks, hang on a minute, if you're saying this about me, I'm going to say this. But however, I think Pete's take on it is probably the better one. He should just say, well, I'll speak to Brendan Rodgers in private. And I'll sort it out in private.
What do you think about the public reaction to Sterling announcing that he's tired?
Silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But to the point where people saying, oh, he's a footballer, he shouldn't be tired, soldiers are tired, that sort of crap. It's not even worth thinking about.
I mean, Alan, a lot of people defended him. Alan Shearer came out and said, you know, for the average working man, to hear about someone who earns a lot of money and is in a privileged position / deserved position, I think people forget that it is incredibly difficult to become a professional footballer.
A lot of hard work.
Yeah, bloody right. I think people just think that they're playing every now and then. Exactly, yeah. And also that they've not tried that hard to be there. My goodness, you have to be dedicated beyond belief.
And Alan Shearer should know that.
Yeah. Well,
it's irrelevant what someone doing a different job feels when they hear that.
Yeah,
it's a quite abstract concept.
Well, this should be explained because you know, your average football fan may think, oh, for crying out loud, I'd love to play for England, I'd love to play for this, and it's like with any ignorance, it needs education on education, but an educated response is the answer, not just a kind of spout off.
And
like
the thing I don't like about it is also
not that I saw what the Sun said, so I can't say that. But the kind of crap they usually come out with.
But the people who are sort of behind this outcry are almost automatically acting like they've never complained that they're tired.
Yeah,
it's like, because I'll be on the way here. Marcus and I were chatting, and I said, "Yeah, I'm a bit tired today." Well, so surely everyone's entitled to be tired. That's
the big bucks you earn.
I'm not less tired now because I'm earning slightly more money than I earned like 10 years ago. Yeah. It's not mutually exclusive.
I'm more tired now.
Yeah, exactly.
If you and I are walking along the street on the way to recording, for example, and I'm just feeling exhausted, I need to put myself up and go, Luke, can you lend me a tenner, mate? Yeah. Not going to sort it out.
Sven never looks tired, does he?
No, that's fair.
You know?
That's true, actually, yeah.
You're tired,
but he sleeps on a very nice bed. With Egyptian cotton sheets.
Yeah.
And a duck feather pillow.
No doubt those were well documented.
A black unicorn feather pillow.
That's
right. A memory foam mattress.
Definitely.
In a heart shape.
I can't get with the memory foam. I was actually.
With the what? Sorry.
The memory foam mattress.
You lay on it and it's sort of your shape goes into it and it's like it hugs you a bit, I suppose.
I don't think I've ever experienced that.
I bought a bed about 18 months ago. It's more expensive to get a memory foam one.
It is.
Tempur, I think, the sort of market leaders who make them. And I just couldn't get with it. I just went for the single wrapped coiled springs.
I spent an inordinate amount of money on a tempura mattress, which makes it sound like it's deep fried.
It's tempura, not tempura. 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 Yeah.
I'd imagine you're a waterbed man.
And don't be dirty. Do you have waterbeds in the 90s? Ooh.
Yeah.
Disgusting. But yeah, my ex couldn't get on with it, so we had to get rid of it.
Hence ex.
Had to sell it on.
You had to get rid of one.
So maybe Ryan Stone should invest in a slightly more palatable mattress.
Or everyone should just grow up and fuck off.
Yeah, I'll go for that one. I vote that.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I suppose we can talk about this all day long, or maybe not, but go over to the website.
Eh?
It would be, yeah, indeed. And we'd have to draw out some money. But go over to the website, because the Magnificent Kelly has written possibly the best article I've read on this matter, actually, on our website. That's not it is a plug for the website. Yeah. It's our bloody podcast, so up yours. but yeah, get on that and sail it home, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Hart was voted man of the match for both the San Marino and Estonia matches on the Vauxhall website. The FA will hold talks with Vauxhall about this. Is it a crisis talks? Or
that'll teach.
Anti-democratic, right?
I just two clean sheets. Well, because all the other on the field players, outfield players were so good.
Yeah.
I didn't see any other outfield players make a single save. So
all I'm saying is Joe Hart may have not made that many saves, but how are we measuring his concentration levels? They might have been absolutely top notch.
Tip
and
top.
As we all know, I mean, ask Manuel Neuer, that's a massive part of being a great goalkeeper.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't have a go at him.
Don't have a go.
Those that's basically going to be a record forever now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's in the history books.
Yeah.
Lovely old job.
Well, the problem is, if you're going to pass these things over to public choice, because I can remember, I don't mean this in a flippant way, but of course, this is put out to people presumably who can vote for the internet and stuff like that, so it's open to abuse. But I remember in the 90s.
You postal votes.
Well, yeah, you probably get. They're coming in now, probably.
Yeah.
You get. You used to get the old red button vote in the Sky in the late 90s. And Jamie Redknapp used to win everyone because all the girls would be voting for him and Beckham and stuff. So it's always been open to abuse.
Yeah.
All the girls, eh?
Mm. Uh huh.
And some boys. I mean, I'll probably vote for Beckham and Redknapp a couple of times.
You're basically just confessing that you were sat there voting over and over again.
Yeah, but if they warranted the win. Or not the win, the man of the match.
I'm just questioning how many girls you know. That's all, Luke.
Yeah. Not that many.
Not that many that voted.
Think about how many you think on, though, and half it.
Oh, God, half a girl.
Gross. Excellent. To Group D.
Yes.
This is where the fun begins.
Is D for death?
Oh, yeah. D for destiny. D for Deutschland. Germany drew 1-1 with the Republic of Ireland. John O'Shea on his 100th appearance for Ireland.
95th minute or something.
With less than a minute to go.
Ireland. He looks like Peter Kay. He is a centre-half baby. He is John O'Shea.
Nice.
Lovely.
That's what should be on the terraces, but no one listens.
Yes. When I was on my way back from Old Trafford once upon a time, I think I got, because you can get a little tip for you if you pretend to be in the London Man United Supporters Club, you can get cheaper train tickets in the group booking. Yeah.
Good stuff.
How do you get away with that then? Do you supply a number or something?
Fake moustache.
Is this a tacit admission that you're a Man United fan? Because people have asked me questions.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And also that you're a criminal.
That's
defrauding
I'm genuinely not a Man United
rail
fan,
suppliers.
As you all ruddy well know. No, I'd never been to Old Trafford before and a couple of months
ago. You just thought you'd go along and support the bullies that you love.
I was in the away end, say no more. Right. This drunken Irish man who was a part of the supporters on the way back started singing a rendition of John O'Shea to the tune of Yesterday by the Beatles.
Okay, that's not bad. Nice. Yeah, it's a bit morose, though.
And I believe in John O'Shea. But with the Irish accent, it kind of worked, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think really that's going to rouse the team, is it? You're not going to be behind that, are you?
Oh, true. I mean, in its context,
like to hear that sung, sort of context, I can imagine that being sung. Maybe they've been knocked out of a tournament, John O'Shea's missed a penalty, everyone's getting around it.
And I believe in John O'Shea.
Lift him up.
Well, yeah, so it was definitely, it would have been out of place.
Should have been
a wonderful equaliser. What a finish.
Yeah.
It really was.
Last minute as well.
A real poacher's goal, that one. Germany, obviously, they beat Scotland 2-1. And I think most people would agree that Scotland should have got something out of the game, or they were unlucky not to. Whereas Germany should have beaten the Irish.
Yeah, I think that actually... If you take it down to the details, Germany are a little bit arrogant in this qualifying campaign, in my opinion. I
mean, they're missing a lot of players as well.
They're missing a lot of chances. They had so many shots against Ireland and even more against Poland, and they didn't win either of those matches.
They're inexperienced players in the team. Well,
they're missing obviously Schweinsteiger, Royce, and Özil. Now, I'm going to say this again, because I said it at the live show. quick one on Ozil. Yes, thank you for pointing out that...
God, we have to listen to this again. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know that I said he would never play for Mourinho. Of course he did under Real Madrid. I even saw him play in the flesh there. What I meant was, of course, that I don't think he would ever play for Mourinho in the Premier League for that Chelsea side. So let's learn to love again and stop the tweets. Thank you very much.
don't stop the tweets.
Just tag all of us in.
Thanks for listening to what I say. It's,
let me clarify what I mean about Germany. Yes. Of course, they've lost. Not only have they lost the players you've listed dead for injury, but they've also lost Lahm, Mertesacker, Klostermann through retirement. Yeah. And of course, there's going to be a certain amount of inertia around the fact that they've won the World Cup. But if you look at the squad they've picked and the teams they've played, you look at players like Durm, who's got 5 caps, he played.
Yeah.
Ginter, he's got 5 caps. Rudiger's got 4 caps. Bellarabi's got 2 caps. Max Kruse only got 8 caps. And they've thrown them in
a qualifying campaign.
Against Poland in a massive derby, and against Ireland, who have got a huge amount of seasoned Premier League players who are canny. Not necessarily the most talented, but very canny. And that will happen.
Well, I've got one question for you. Where was Sidney Sam?
Oh, exactly.
On a case. Oh, he's undercover. He's undercover and he's gone too deep.
He's hunting for drones.
More on them later.
But I think someone like Lahm, like 30 years old, retiring from international football. I find that very hard. I know he's just won the World Cup, but
what's he got left to do, though?
European Championship.
Well, I don't really care. It's a vocation, not a...
Your favourite son, Alan Shearer, is retiring in 2030. And he didn't win shit.
Are you complaining that they're too tired, are you?
Les Ferdinand barely got picked. Yeah, and he's our actual favourite Newcastle
first
player.
First name on the team sheet now.
Why have you got a Les Ferdinand mentioned there?
Because he's more of my favourite player than Alan Shearer.
Okay.
Mm. Sir Les.
Also, he's got to balance up our Kevin Keegan mentions. Let him have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
Commission Beardo.
Fair enough. Says I, who's mentioned Sven about 3 times already.
But do you understand what I mean with the players they've picked?
I know, I do.
They could have been... The players they've got in their squad, I understand they've got players missing, but if you look at that squad they've picked, it's a very small squad. And it's got a lot of inexperienced players, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, look, they ground out a win against Scotland, fair enough. Losing away to Poland, and the Poles were really, really up for that. And Germany on another day, you know, Podolski hits one off the bar, might have had something in that game.
Poland were emphatic in that game. The atmosphere was incredible.
It was, it really was. But Germany were largely probably the better side, but Poland just sort of picked them off.
Yeah, the energy and the vim they had.
Yeah, but against Ireland, you know, they should have won it. And I think that's the worrying thing. If you know, like Italy at the moment, they're not playing particularly well. They don't have many great players like we've seen in previous Italian sides, but they're winning.
Mm. Yeah, they're scraping it, though. Malta and Azerbaijan.
But they've got 6 points from those games. Whereas Germany certainly have not.
We were all worried that because the European Championships has been expanded and there are more teams in it, that would ruin it. But what it does seem to have done for at least the qualifying campaign is give a lot of teams the bit between their teeth. So they're all really going for it.
There's agree.
None of this sort of, like, just shut up shop against the big boys, try and scrape a draw. Everyone's going for it because you've got to. There's a chance there.
It's definitely one of the more memorable weekends of international football, I think. Certainly not early in qualifying, but
certainly early on in qualifying. Yeah. I don't remember around being this good before.
But you look at a team who's really benefited, and that's Northern Ireland, because if you go into a qualifying campaign under the previous Euros, Northern Ireland are probably thinking about seedings and pots of where they can finish and trying to really maximise their results against teams they can similar level to them or just slightly above. Now they think, well, 2.5 teams out of this group qualify. Certainly there's only 6 teams in the group. In some cases there's 5 teams in the group, and so it gives them a real chance. And they've got 9 points from 9 so far, and they've played the 2 hardest games in the group already.
Certainly out there.
And a couple of big teams, certainly before the World Cup, they limped to qualifying for that competition. Yeah. So you just sort of think, well, we could squeeze in it, like at the expense of someone like Portugal, you know.
England.
Yeah.
No, to be fair, England are doing all right. Really
well, in comparison to everyone else, the big sides, your Germanys, your Netherlands and stuff, we're doing all right.
Indeed.
But I thought Scotland
seized the qualification.
Scotland showed a lot against Poland. I was really impressed with them. Poland had
Before we move on to mine, I've just got to say one more thing. Sorry, mate. I did enjoy when Martin O'Neill shook hands with Yogi Love at the end. And O'Neill was trying... You know how O'Neill's quite a nice guy, and you'd imagine he would say too much to someone.
Oh, he's the sort of guy who wouldn't leave
your house. And he was shaking hands and sort of saying something in his ear. As you'd expect him to have, say, maybe Germany had sort of hammered them or beaten them quite convincingly, saying, oh, you know, it was great and it was a good tactical display by yourselves. We've learned a lot, da da da. But he was really in his ear, and Yogi Love clearly didn't want to be.
Probably scared of Keane. Half an eye on Keane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but after your side has just dropped 2 points right in the last minute, Love's just like, just shut up.
No, he's just in his ear going, so tell us more about the German cannibal. I want to know everything for my case files.
He's Northern Irish, I remember.
He'd be one of those
people. I know. Not very good at accents.
Really?
I'm good at my own one. I'm barely good enough at my own.
O'Neill would definitely be one of those people where when you say goodbye to them, he shakes your hand and then he says something else, but he doesn't let go of your hand and you're just aware of that.
Yeah. Really,
and the handshake gets more limp and more limp. Yeah. What I liked about Matt O'Neill is he did sort of say, you know, we could have, I don't mind us losing 2-0 as long as we've gone for our, you know, single goal. And they got their goal, and I thought it was a really, really.
They
excellent
are.
Performance.
Tony Cruz's goal was a lovely one.
It was a lovely one. But Scotland, Luke, sorry.
What was I saying? Scotland,
it's a good point for them, probably.
It was a good point. I was impressed with them. I thought Pound had a lot of the ball and had chances to take it. But Scotland.
Late on in particular.
They did. And Scotland had a chance to go, with Maloney, they had a chance to go 3-1.
Oh, but it was a good save.
It was a good save. And I think, but that shows that Scotland were well worth the point, in my view. And the other thing I was going to say was that the first goal for Scotland was amazing.
Anya's beautiful move. Lovely setup. Right?
Really tidy. I mean, this is the best Scotland team I can remember. They certainly seem to have kind of got the bit between their teeth and just realised that, you know, this is the time to have a go at this.
This is the best Scotland team that Scotland can remember.
They were playing some nice stuff.
I was mainly referring to their alcohol intake, to be honest.
I know what you're referring to, and I'd like to distance myself from it.
You're really having a go at the Celtic nations today, aren't you?
I am, just a big. No, doing an attempt at an accent is not having a go. Though, if it was Jamaica, I would be in trouble.
I think the public will decide.
And I reckon they'll let you know what they decide on.
Yeah. Pete Donaldson.
I was going to say that my most vivid memory recently of Scotland playing this well is under Walter Smith.
Yep.
When they had the group to qualify for the 2006 World Cup, and they had Italy, of course, went on to win it, and they had Norway, and they almost beat Italy at home, and Grosso scored late on, and it finished 1-1. Of course, they finished behind Italy and Norway, but they could have done something there.
Well, I may be misremembering this, but haven't they, in fairly recent years, had a couple of qualifying campaigns where they've narrowly missed out, where they've started really poorly and then just kind of really geared up? This is a bit different because they've started well.
Well, the 2008... Euro qualifiers, I think, was where they narrowly missed out. I think, if my memory serves me well, their last game, this was a few days before England lost at home to Croatia, they lost at home to Italy when, had they beaten Italy, they would have gone through. And I think they beat France home and away in that
game. They did, because James Thingy scored.
Yeah, they definitely won.
James McFadden was an amazing guy for them,
didn't he? Well, he scored that long ranger in France.
Yeah, that's right.
And Scotland played really, really well. But again, though, When they won in France, it was, you know, one of the greatest robberies in the history of European qualification.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it was one of those ones where it was the only shot on target. It was a speculative 35-yarder or whatever it was. And they won. Whereas this time round, you know, we're unlucky not to get something against Germany. You know, only beat Georgia 1-0. I mean, they dominated the match.
I thought they played well against Georgia. I thought Fletcher and Naismith geared up, linked up very nicely indeed.
Well, I was pleased that Naismith scored because he hasn't, I think that's his first goal in qualifying. You know, he's unlucky.
He's missed a couple of chances.
Yeah, he's doing so well for Everton, so it was good to see him there. But Strachan's got them believing, and Hoddle said that as well. He said, back in the day that Scotland teams always believed they could get something no matter who they were playing. I remember that in the teams in the 90s a certain Craig Brown, and obviously the last time they qualified was 98, but they always believed they could get something out of the game, whereas under Bertie Vogts, I think it was, and maybe one or two other managers, the belief went, and Charlie Nicholas used to say that he used to get so annoyed that Scotland wouldn't finish fourth or even third in qualifying, because they finished like fifth, and you go down the rankings, you're in a lower pot, and you've got to claw your way back up there.
They started a home game without a striker at one point.
Craig Levine, of course.
That was against Czech Republic, I think.
But there is real belief in a lot of the home nations as well. I mean, Poland and Ireland are top of the group. I know Ireland are not a home nation. I wasn't calling them that. I'd moved on to a different point.
At Pete Donaldson.
But they're top of the group with 7 points off 3 games. Scotland and Germany are below. But, you know, the other home nation who are having a remarkable time is the Northern Irish, as you said earlier.
Slamming it.
Yes. I mean, they dance. What a win in Greece. That is a tricky place for anybody to go.
Greece really turned the screw. screw at times.
Yes, I mean, if Spain or Germany or whoever, you know, certainly England went to Greece and won 2-0, that's a very good result.
I'm almost happy that we did lose the recording of the live show, because I'm fairly certain Luke Moore did say that Northern Ireland could get a result in this match.
At Greece, yeah, and, I did think that, and I think that...
Where's the proof?
Constantly.
Where's the proof, though, Luke?
In my own mind.
You've just provided it.
Yeah. And now you're questioning
it.
Yourself.
Yeah, I'm very much secondary evidence.
What you should have done is you should have let me say what I was about to say, which is I called it, and you could have denied it. But the reason I said that at the time, the reason I still say that now, is because if you score a goal against Greece, you're halfway there, because they never score. And you say Greece turned the screw. Greece always turned the screw. They never score. Their goal scoring record is so poor. I think they've scored one goal so far in qualification in total. They scored a really low amount of goals to get to the World Cup. Yeah. In general, they just cannot score. And even though they've got Ranieri on board now, who's a little bit more expansive, if you get a goal against them, they very, very rarely score more.
When it was 2-0 down and they really had to chase the game, they had nothing. They tried to go down the channels, but there was nothing. There was nobody in the middle. It was just strange.
Even at 1-0 down, I mean, they conceded the second one from Kyle Girafferty because they were just trying so desperately to score, but didn't really.
You know when the chips go your way, when the first Northern Ireland goal went in, which was rather fortunate.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was an own goal, really.
Yeah, it was.
But that's the luck you have. You ride your luck, you take your chances and play well and defend well. And so they're a goal up, so Greece are then going to have to push forward, which allowed Lafferty to go one-on-one with the defender. I mean, he nearly scored, I think it was in the first half when he hit the bar. And then when in the second one, I mean, Lafferty looked fantastic.
He seems to have a pretty good qualifying campaign.
I mean, that second goal they scored, and obviously the only goal he scored, was superbly taken. He ran like half the length of the pitch.
He seems like a different player for them. I mean, he's obviously signed for Norwich now. He's not scored for them yet, I don't think.
It's the daily David Healy factor.
But he helped Palermo get promoted from Serie B, didn't he? And he left because Zamperini, the mad owner, said that he couldn't control his womanising or something. So he left. And now he's at Norwich. He's not scored for Norwich. I don't know, maybe he doesn't really suit the system that well. But he's got 3-3, hasn't he, now, did you just say?
He scored against Hungary, and I think he scored against...
I'm pretty sure he's got 3-3, he's doing very well for them.
Yeah, great start for...
Well, they've got to the point now. Again, I don't want to reiterate, flog a dead horse too much. But because of the way this set up to qualify now, they've got 9 points already.
Yeah.
I think.
And two of their hardest games. I think they might be away to Romania next month.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's the only tough one they've got left.
Yeah.
And the manager, Michael O'Neill, was saying before the campaign, I remember this, he said, we need 14 points to have a chance. I've got nine already.
Mm. Yeah. The tricky thing then, of course, is if they get themselves into a position, it's a position that they've never found themselves in before. Yeah. And that's when the nerves come in. Yeah, that's when the nerves come in. But more power to their elbows.
Don't forget, one of their games is going to be away at the Faroe Islands. That's not really going to be pressure there. I know Hungary only beat them 1-0 or something, but it's not too much of a big deal. That's another you'd think, really. I don't want to jump the gun.
And the others will take points off
each other. That's another 3 points, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Hungary drew with Romania and Greece and Romania. There's not much between those.
They've got to be very, very confident of at least a playoff now.
Yeah.
They really have.
That won't be enough at this stage, though, with this start. They're going to want to try and qualify automatically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Welsh, another win, another good result for them. But I think the really encouraging thing for them is obviously they're picking up points. But Gareth Bale, he looks like, well, he does love playing for Wales.
He really does. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to start having a go at Ryan Giggs because he was a magnificent player, obviously. And I know his Welsh career, sometimes people can have a little bit of a go. He's a different type of player to Bale. I mean, I think Giggs would probably get the ball and look for the run, which,
Bale's a little bit more direct, isn't he?
Yeah, perhaps Dwight York on his game would make, and maybe Wales didn't have the players. But Bale is an impact player. He's the perfect player for them. Grab the ball and off he goes, hit one from distance, etc.
They just need to be solid because they've got genuinely one of the world's greatest players.
Mm.
And so he can win games against teams like Cyprus on his own, Bale, in theory, because he is that good. Mm. And so if Wales can be solid, and they've got a few decent amount of Premier League operators, when Ramsey comes back, of course, that'll be a huge benefit to them.
Joe Allen's been out as well.
He's solid for them.
They're the two. So they've picked up 4 points, obviously home to Bosnia-Herzegovina and...
Which is a really good point. And,
Without two very key players.
And Hennessy played out of his skin in that match. Mm. Not so good against Cyprus. He's not a flapped at one. So I think he was kind of impeded by one of his own players, but you'd expect him to get a punch on it.
He doesn't play much, does he, Hennessy?
Yeah. King's tackle was horrible, wasn't it?
Dreadful.
Yeah.
That was an Achilles killer.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Oh, it really
he deserved
was.
To walk for that, for sure. Bale was getting chopped all over the place.
Yeah, he was. They were very angry about that.
Lovely setup from Bale for Robson Carney.
But that's what he brings, isn't it? It's that touch of class. And he's going to be so crucial for them on set pieces. because it is little margins like that where your quality is higher than that of a smaller nation, and that will get you maybe the one goal you need.
Let me just ask you a quick question on this, just in general. There's some of the results we've seen, like Portugal lost home to Armenia or something like that.
Albania, forgive me.
Iceland have obviously beaten Netherlands, which we're going to come on to. Mm. And Bosnia lost at home to Cyprus. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's because of the new qualification and some teams just genuinely think we've got a real chance here?
I think so.
Maybe.
If so, Platini deserves credit because I thought it was going to ruin this tournament.
Well, we haven't got the tournament yet.
But yeah, I understand that.
No, you're right. You're right. I think it's been brilliant. I think that is a factor to it, definitely. Because think about the psychology if you're a Cypriot player. Or even, like we said, maybe Northern Irish or something, you go away to Hungary and you think to yourself, well, we're not going to qualify. You know, we're playing for sort of fourth, fifth spot, whatever. You know,
it's not a great attitude, is it?
I'm a bit, dare I say, tired. there's a big game next week. You know, they are human beings. They may well think that. They may not. Okay, I'm not saying they do. But when it's kind of like, no, guys, we can get to a tournament here. Mm. We haven't been to a tournament for a long time, for maybe ever. I don't think Cyprus have been to a tournament, for example. But the Welsh, you know, Wales, when they were in the group with England. You know, and that was the time when, of course, they went to England and lost 1-0 and were unlucky not to get something. You know, Gary Speed, of course, got Wales going.
Yeah.
And it looks as though the good work has been continued by Coleman. And you look at that home game again, Wales versus Cyprus. It's just been a non-event in the past.
Yeah.
And people turn up, whatever. Now the crowd are right behind them. Obviously, Bale gives them a lift, but they're thinking, this is a crucial game.
Yeah. Yeah.
We win this, we're in there. We're in the hat for qualifying.
They're excited about just the potential of points.
Absolutely.
They're off to Belgium next, aren't they? So that's a real test for them.
It's more than a tricky one.
Yeah, but Belgium drew, didn't they? So that's great. How nice is it to just be reporting on good news from all of the home nations and the Republic as well? It's brilliant.
If the same sort of thing happens in the next round again, you start thinking, well, we could all qualify.
Yeah.
No way.
I think Scotland and Ireland obviously being in the same group.
All four in the same group, of course.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The local police might not think that. Mm.
There should be a trophy for it. Like the Six Nations. Whoever wins the group gets a trophy and then the four nations. Maybe another one.
No chance we've got to win anything.
Exactly.
Group A. Iceland 2, the Netherlands 0. Once again, I will tout this. Iceland are the most overachieving nation in football, similar to population to that of Coventry, 325,000.
And a lot of those will be old people, babies, women.
Coventry on the right side.
But they're not a nation.
No, true.
But I'm not.
Despite what they say.
I'm not.
The sky
I'm not
blue
comparing
nation.
Them to Coventry City FC. I'm comparing the populations, Luke.
What a season Sigurdsson's having.
Yeah.
Fantastic at club level and the best level. He's not. I think he's got the most assists of any player in the Premier League so far.
Wow.
He's joint top scorer in the European qualification. That second goal he scored, I don't know if it was a second goal, but the goal that wasn't the penalty against Netherlands was an absolute class finish.
Yeah, it was.
Really good stuff for him.
Yeah, Iceland, it really is fantastic. Again, of course they've got a chance. It was a shame that they missed out in World Cup.
Came very close in the playoffs, didn't they?
My goodness.
Do you think we're likely to have a big player miss out? Because pretty much every group has got like some sort of underdog really making a noise.
I think a lot of teams could miss out here, Jim, because what might happen is a few of them might get put in playoffs against each other.
Yeah.
Then like we had with Portugal and Sweden for the World Cup, and obviously it was Latan or Ronaldo. I think if you look at, say, something like... You could easily see the playoffs, and it's early days, but the playoffs being something like Switzerland could be in there, Holland could be in there, they're adrift. You know, you could have Belgium in there, Bosnia could be in there, they've started poorly. So you're going to have a lot of sort of household name players in the playoffs, at least.
That's true. Oi, Pete, Spain won a game, lol.
Well, certainly after the game they played before that. Goodness me.
Losing to Slovakia. They dropped Casillas for the Liechtenstein. Mm.
As well they should.
Dropping the football.
The Slovakian winner against them in the game before was absolutely fantastic. The celebration was magnificent. From ex-Chelsea, Miroslav Stok, wasn't it?
Yeah. As I said at the last show, he's one of the few, you know, world goalkeepers who has a Lev Yashin medal at Casillas. And he's just... How old is he now? 32, maybe? Yeah.
He's not actually that old.
No, he's still sure. He's got probably 8 years in him as a professional goalkeeper.
Mourinho's in his head still.
It's weird, isn't it?
Maybe he has been doing the Levi Ashen where he has a shot of vodka or something before he starts. Whatever.
I mean, he was.
Did he actually do that?
Yeah, he had a cigarette. He said a cigarette to calm the nerves and a shot of some kind of alcohol to firm the muscles.
Nice.
Wow. I seem to recall. Well,
I mean, that's just science.
Yeah, that's just me remembering the Dean Wondos Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Good, alcohol actually started as a muscle firmer.
Yeah,
did it?
Yeah, my giddy aunt.
But he was directly at fault for both goals.
I agree.
Awful.
Dear.
Costa got off the mark, though, didn't he?
Costa did get off the mark.
Against Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Top man.
I said Liechtenstein earlier. Sorry, it was Luxembourg. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Forgive me. Andres Iniesta was awarded the Golden Foot Award recently.
Good.
Do you remember that award? We often mention it.
Forlan famously won it, did he?
Did Forlan win it? Drogba won it last year. Ibrahimovic the year before.
I got a feeling Forlan might have won it in 2010.
Ryan Giggs won it in 11, I think.
Okay.
Maybe Forlan did win it. It's a kind of award that he won.
Obscure trivia, this.
Yeah, well, it's given to players over the age of 28 and can only be won once. And their feet are... How would you sort of put in...
Clay, it's an impression made of their feet, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. And it's put on the Champions Promenade in Monaco.
Monaco, the home of football.
The home of the former home of the Super Cup.
Yeah, indeed. Well,
the home of football's money, you'd imagine.
Yeah.
Along with Switzerland and Jersey.
There is no money in football, mate. You bark up the wrong tree there.
we only
have surpluses.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. That's sorry, right, rainy day money.
There's no profit. No profit margin at all. While he was putting his feet into the gold mould on the stage... in front of everybody. I'm pretty sure, if you watch the footage, the house band are playing a rendition of Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler.
Not bad.
Wow.
Maybe he personally requested it.
They do things properly.
Very awkward for someone who's seen that video.
Yeah. but going back to Group C, Belarus lost 3-1 to the mighty Slovakians.
Slovakia are on the march.
They bloody well are. I look forward to seeing them. Take points off England at the tournament. But yeah, one of their goals came from the goalkeeper leaving the ball to go wide and it kicked off the post. He thought that's wide.
Get
hit
your
off the
angles.
Post,
get
and
your
then
angles,
it came on the post. And
sort of thing I do when I deputise in goal for a half.
The forward slotted into the half empty net. Just to finish.
Would that go down as a keeper error?
Yeah.
Ask Casillas, I suppose.
What about in Group H? A 15-year-old played for Norway.
Yeah.
Taking the piss.
Yeah. Yeah, they won though, didn't they?
Yeah. And then, did you see Johansson slid to keep the ball in play at the end of the match, accidentally slid into the Bulgarian manager, Penev, and upended him. Pushing and shoving ensued.
I sort of feel like everyone who's listening to this show now is just saying, come on, just talk about Serbia.
Should we go to
Dubai? Accidentally slid into Bulgarian. Who cares?
Yeah. Come people on, at this Dubai. Point are now rewinding. Go, did I miss it? Did I miss the Serbia show?
Group irate. Serbia versus
group international incident.
group
of potential actual death.
Yeah. Group I don't want to go on either side of this fence.
Yeah. Serbia versus Albania was abandoned. Unprecedented scenes. There's a lot of history and politics with these two. Sasha Ibrulji wrote about this in The Guardian.
Used to write for the Football Ramble.
Mm. Yes, of course.
Good man.
Excellent man.
We saw him first.
The veneer of respectability he needed to get into The Guardian.
Yeah. I'm going to very, very quickly go through it. Kosovo is the main talking point between these two nations. Many ethnic
talking
Albanians.
Talking points?
Many ethnic Albanians inhabit Kosovo, which is between Serbia and Albania. This is, of course, Sasha's article.
And also history.
Kosovo became an autonomous province under Serbian control in post-World War II Yugoslavia. The Albanians in Kosovo used the breakup of Yugoslavia to strive for independence from Serbia. This resulted in a war that ended with NATO's intervention in 1999. In 2008, the local government in Kosovo declared independence, recognised by the US, the UK and many other countries, but Serbia disputed this. Enter the drone.
Yeah. Enter the Prime Minister's brother-in-law.
Who was arrested, but he's been released.
Okay.
So, yes, it's been alleged, obviously during the first half, a drone flying the Albanian flag with a picture of Kosovo and the so-called Greater Albania area onto it flew onto the into the stadium. What I found really strange was one of the Serbian players sort of pulled it down.
It was Kolarov, wasn't it?
And was it Kolarov?
I think so, yeah.
That's fair enough. It's got to be taken down.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what side of the fence.
I don't think it was Kolarov.
He's definitely involved.
One of the players pulled it down. What was really strange and shows the passions here
The players didn't sort of think, well, maybe the players did, oh, bloody hell, get that off and let's get on with it. When he pulled it down and he was about to take it away, two of the Albanian players ran up to grab the flag off him as if to say, no, 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 that's our flag, mate, we'll have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Free flags. There's a free flag going, I'm having it.
And that's one of the greater Albania flags, too.
Yeah.
And it's sparked horrible scenes, quite frankly.
Yeah, the reason that people were saying that the brother-in-law, or whatever it is, the brother of the Prime Minister, would possibly fly on the drone is because apparently the brand of drone only has quite a limited range, and it couldn't have been anyone from much further away.
Yeah, so someone outside, just outside,
someone inside the stadium, by the looks of it, has got remote controls and is going...
Yeah, no, because it's a serious point, because they knew it was such a flashpoint. I'm led to believe that all the regular fans, in quotes, were quite firmly searched.
Yeah, yeah.
And but the VIPs area wasn't searched.
Right.
So they think that's
that's a big old drone.
Yeah, I know.
And you can't really arrest that man and put him in, you know, in prison, because if he ever goes out for like exercising in the exercise yard, you're going to like, well, we can't let you out because you've got a drone.
Pete, it'll just come and pick you up.
I'll say what we're all thinking. Arrest the drone.
Yeah.
Well, I thought when they pulled the flag down, it might pull the drone down as well.
Get on it.
Yeah. Just fly yourself around and score a goal in the last minute. Yeah.
But one of the things that Kolarov was doing, which was nice to see, was he was stopping the Serbian fans throwing things at the Albanian players by standing with them and saying, stop this, don't throw... this stuff, because obviously they're not going to throw it at the
one
player.
Particular player. Yeah,
yeah. It was Kolarov, definitely. Definitely Kolarov.
No, one particular player. He was shielding.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
The worst thing is that this has given Man United fans ideas about drones. They're going to be all over the pitch now, just chasing players around.
Oh, I think
maybe tackles
maybe,
on their own.
Maybe banners.
Oh yeah, the banners will be attached to the drones.
You'd be saving a bit of money on the old plane flyover.
I mean, drones are fairly expensive, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Where'd you get?
You probably can't hire one. You probably have to buy one. Yeah,
that's fair enough.
What I like about is like Mark. It was Martin Atkinson, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the referee.
Can you imagine? He's just saying, oh, that Chelsea ghost goal. That was easier than this, wasn't it? I wish I stuck to domestic football.
I'll tell you something I find quite interesting to come out of this is that there have been precedents set by UEFA. I don't know if you guys knew this, but I didn't know this until today. Of keeping nations apart.
Yeah, that's right.
Qualifying.
England and Scotland usually be kept apart.
Right, so they know. The other things that are in place at the moment are Spain and Gibraltar are kept apart.
That's annoying for Spain, isn't
it? Yeah.
Great for Gibraltar.
Actually, they would have probably called that.
Apparently, Russia and Georgia are still kept apart. And Azerbaijan and Armenia are still kept
apart. Surely Russia must have to keep apart from everyone.
But England.
Well, I think maybe in Ukraine they might.
England
have to in
has invaded everyone at some point.
Britain. England, India.
Right, we'll have Luxembourg. We'll have San Marino in there.
Yeah.
We have Azerbaijan, we'll have them in there. We're not having Spain in there because we've been at war with them before. We're not having France. Yeah. No, we're not having Germany, obviously.
Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina.
No. Well, no, Argentina aren't going to be in the European.
Where does it end?
Where does it
that's
end?
What I want to know. Yeah. And so if that's the case, and you, it's a good point to make about the passions that the Albanian players have automatically thought, well, this is our flag. Clearly, passions are running so high, there's been civil war and unrest and all sorts for in fairly recent years. Why are UEFA not keeping that apart? Is it because the countries didn't request it?
Well, I think so. That was what I read. They had both requested that they'd not be kept apart, but there would be restrictions on fans.
Right, okay.
It was all that passports. Yeah, passports.
Yeah, they're clearly not ready.
Serbia have got horrendous history with this sort of fan behaviour. I mean, if you think back, it was a Partizan Belgrade fans who had that anti-Semitic banner against Spurs. Mm. They had problems with the Bosnia game a few years ago.
If you are just a regular football fan from Serbia, you must be so frustrated.
But, yeah. I mean, I think we're sort of losing sight of the main problem here, which is someone was able to fly a fucking drone into the stadium. I mean, this goes
that's not a problem for
this goes this goes further than politics. This is a man with a remote control drone
to be
flying
fair,
it around. I mean, that's antisocial at best.
Yeah, it's one of the most creative ways I've seen a game being.
I'm surprised it hasn't been done before, to be honest. You probably saw that that paper aeroplane in the Peru match.
We should try and get a live like a drone for the next live podcast. Just fly it around the audience.
Yeah,
just
probably quite expensive.
But I'm intrigued.
Oh, you're going to pay for it? It's fine. Yeah.
But yes,
I predict, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, whatever, but I predict that Serbia fans will be heavily punished for this. They have to be because they've got a track.
Well, the Albanians, as well.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah,
it came from one of their own. You'd imagine
nobody wins.
Denmark and Portugal. Portugal won away from home. They needed that result.
Did Cristiano score?
Yes. Yeah. What a header it was. Climbing above the defender and goalkeeper.
With that big horse's neck.
My goodness. One international friendly to talk about. Brazil 4, Japan 0. Neymar scored all four in Singapore, and the haul included a perfect hat-trick. Mm. He's now 40 goals in 58 internationals.
No, that's like
phenomenal. He's only 12 years old.
that's right. Pelé's their top scorer with 77. You forget what a phenomenal tally he had for.
Yeah, 77 in like 90 odd games or something.
Yeah, 92, yeah. I think. So, because I was thinking 40 goals, or he must be quite near the record. No, it's Brazil.
Yeah.
They have proper goal scorers.
The stadium they played in was amazing. The music they were playing when Brazil scored. It sounds like you completed a race on Mario Kart.
Yeah, and the
I'm
roof.
Not sure if that was the TV doing that.
Oh, was it?
If
okay.
That was a particular TV
it was,
channel.
It was very weird though, but the roof had a screen on it.
Yeah.
Which was saying goal every time they scored. But what was particularly odd was how many Japanese fans were celebrating the absolute rinsing of their own team.
They're very celebrating weird. Football.
Well, they love Neymar, don't they?
Yeah, celebrating football. Well, actually, but the game was in Singapore, though.
Ah, right. Well, that'd be why that is.
Yeah.
I thought it was in Japan. Probably
me too.
Yeah.
There we are. There we are.
I think Brazil are on some sort of Gillette World Tour, aren't they? I think it's a sponsored tour.
I think they'd be, I think they're almost like doing that. It seems to me that that's happening in perpetuity, like it's forever. They're playing friendlies all over the place. They did one in South Africa not so long ago.
Yeah, Globetrotters, mate. Globetrotters.
Yeah. It's a brand.
Is it time for Pete's Mystery Voice?
It can be,
yeah.
If you fancy it.
Let's do it.
Well, Pete's Mystery Voice basically involved this.
I think overall I thought we did enough. I think that I thought we dominated the first half and were very good and got an early goal and I thought we controlled the game the first half.
That was last week's Mystery Voice.
Hmm.
Any ideas, guys?
No.
I'm sure you've got a few words to say about that. A lot of people are getting involved this week, but only one person got it right.
Oh, good. Oh,
wow.
Good.
Because it was bloody hard, quite frankly. Ryan Corn went for Pablo Zabaleta. Kevin Blackwell says Neil Jolliffe. Fabio Moser says Didi Haman. No, not Didi Haman.
I think Neil Jolliffe says Kevin Blackwell, not the other way around.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. Chris Key says, is it Mike Phelan? Love, Chris Key. Luke Chadwick, Richard Ward, says, I have literally no idea. Maybe not, that it took me a while to realise that Luke Moore wasn't actually the Luke Moore of Aston Villa. A lot of Pablo Zabaleta, weirdly enough. Stuart Crawford of Cheadle Town, says Graham Rooney. No, none of those people.
Put us out of our misery, Pete.
One person got it right. Let me just get the old message up. Just feel free to talk amongst yourselves.
I wonder who it is, guys. I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
It is going
Mark
to be brilliant.
Booth says Scott Sellers.
Oh, what a guess.
The reason why he knows this is because I think I might have conducted the interview.
Still counts.
So it still counts. Future friend of the Ramble, Mark Booth. Thank you, Mark Booth, the content producer for City Football Marketing. So well done, fantastic. Mark Booth. Nice. An easy one for him, but a very hard one for everyone else.
Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic. Yes.
And this is this week's clip.
The teleurstelling was for my best moeilijk te bevatten. Alleen, ik was wel op een punt dat ik na 17 jaar voetbal wel voelde.
And if you know who that is, just put it in the subject line of an email to voice@thefootballramble.com.
Die teleurstelling was voor mij best moeilijk te bevatten. Alleen, ik was wel op een punt dat ik na 17 jaar voetbal wel voelde.
There you go.
There
Speaking
you go.
Of emails, we've had a couple of emails. One from Adam Fennelly, who said, going on from the hard man, the hardest Premier League manager.
Yeah.
He's saying that he would like to back up our claims. Well, look at my claims, really.
Nigel Pearson.
Of Pearson, yeah. Because he says, I remember this article surfacing on Leicester City forums a few months back, and this is an article that Henry Winter wrote in The Telegraph about Pearson fighting a pack of wild dogs with his hands. And his stick, his walking stick.
I heard about this. Didn't he dive into some stinging nettles to get away from
them? Yeah, he was...
Not hard, is it?
Well, Pearson went backpacking to Romania, getting trains all the way there. I say backpacking, I mean, he did go backpacking. He goes hiking, though. He likes a bit of hiking. So he went to the Carpathian Mountains.
Bear Grylls stuff.
Yeah, he was. Apparently he was well aware, according to Henry Winter, that there's vicious dogs that inhabit the area. So he obviously did his research.
That's why he went.
Big time. Big time. Well, there's a problem. Yeah. That he needs solving. So the dogs started on him, so to speak, and he used his stick to blind a couple of them. Bang, have that in the eyes.
Yeah.
And then he dived into some nettles, because the dogs won't go in there because it stings their noses and it's very sensitive.
Oh, good knowledge.
Isn't it?
It's just great bushcraft. Isn't
it? You take the stings yourself.
What about his nose?
What about
Nigel Pearson's?
A dog's world is all through its nose, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's they're not going to do that. So he came out of the nettles thinking, well, that's that finished with.
Mm.
But the dogs came back again, and he was pinned up against the tree. Fought them off until the dogs thought, do you know what, we're not going to win this.
That's too hard.
And off they went. That happened, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm. Nice to see a footballer not just going to Ibiza.
Yeah. Instead indulging in some necessary but still sad cruelty to animals.
Yeah. So Adam says, you know, well,
him or them, Jim. Him or them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Adam said sensational stuff from the big man. Absolutely no question that he's the hardest manager. There you go.
I feel like we've made that the correct decision.
Don't know that. Yeah. To prove this, we have to set a pack of wild dogs on every other Premier League manager Bruce. And see how they get on with it.
Yeah. He wouldn't feel the first three.
He'd start taking chunks out of them.
The way Steve Bruce would know what's happening is when his blood sugar starts to get a bit low.
I'm going to do a little recap for those who are at the live show, because this is too good not to include on the show. Going on strange footballers' names, or not footballers, football teams' names. We enjoyed a number of them in the Scottish Cup, of course. Patrick Sellier, I think he's a South African man, gave us a few from the continent of Africa. He said, in Ghana, you've got Ebzua Dwarves.
That's good.
Very nice. Yeah.
It's annoying this because I want to say the same little comments that I said on the live show. You know, don't play the ball in the air,
which is just offensive,
or practical.
Yeah. Still offensive
and practical.
Do they want to win or not?
International allies.
Ah, that's strong.
Mm. That's very good, strong. Very good. Hearts of Oak, of course, Luke's team.
Are we supposed to be pretending that we haven't heard these?
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
yes.
Sorry. Oh, Hearts of Oak. Yeah, I love Hearts of
they
Oak.
Are. Hearts of Lions?
Oh, they could play Hearts of Oak in the cardiac derby.
Hey! That was a genuine off-the-cuff comment from Luke Moore at the live show.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's less strong when you hear him.
It's still very strong.
In Ethiopia, Ethiopian coffee is yeah, very good. Wonderful. Ethiopian insurance. In Botswana... Naughty Boys.
Oh, that's my favourite.
Danny Dyer's team. Mm. Botswana Meat Commission FC.
I love that.
That is superb, isn't it?
They commissioned meat. Makes it sound like that's what that's describing them acquiring players.
Botswana Defence Force.
Solid.
Yeah.
Solid. As we clean said again, sheets. I want to see them play international allies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot you said that. That was lovely. Golden Bush. Is another team.
Yeah. Wonderful. Solid.
And then the last two, Ramblers FC of Namibia. There you go. And and the best one from Zimbabwe, of course, Wanky Colliery FC.
Yeah.
Wow. Wanky Colliery, whose manager is Nation Jube.
That's a great name.
That's the name of the manager there. Patrick, that went down an absolute storm at the live show. We can't thank you enough for
Trust
that.
Trust us.
Yeah, it really did. there we are. Highlights of the week, have we got time?
I've got quite a few.
Good.
Got a few minutes, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, do it, man. Do it.
This is from Fat PK. I think he might be a friend of the Ramble.
Yeah,
he's always tweeting it.
Yeah.
He says, my highlight of the week was a Bohemian supporter on Friday calling a Sligo player a fat-necked, clown-shoed biscuit barrel for the piss.
There you go.
Wow.
And he's Fat PK, so he'd know.
He would know, exactly. What else have we got on here? Let's have a look. Oh, I've got a few big shop updates, but I'll come to them in a minute.
Okay.
Shane Wilkinson's highlight of the week, bizarrely, is the bullshit being spewed about the Kidderminster Harrier's pie. Yes, it's £4.50. Yes, it's pricey. Mm. But that's because it's a massive bloody meal in itself. It's homemade. It's not pucker pie shit. I'm getting pissed off about it. Clearly, Shane.
Wow. Yeah. Excellent. A Kidderminster warrior.
Just have yourself a pie and calm down.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Joe Lindsay says, a lad on the opposite team in my Sunday league game kicking me so hard in the shin that he broke his own leg.
Oh, my God. Wow.
No injury to me. Match got cancelled. Hashtag here comes the ambulance.
Whenever there's a leg break in 11s, the match always gets cancelled.
I've never seen one.
Disappointing, horrible. I think.
What else we got here? Simon Muir, he says, I enjoyed the mention of Keith last week, the Scottish team Keith.
Yeah.
I used to have a colleague who played for them, so I looked out for their results. A few seasons ago, their top goal scorer was somebody with the surname Keith.
Excellent.
He looked amazing on the video print.
Keith's Keith. Like a man's man.
I think I got the result wrong. I said the Rangers beat them 8-1. I think it was 10-1.
Yeah. Do you want some big shop updates?
Nobody Absolutely. Tweeted me about that, did they? go on.
Peter Andrew says, big shop update. If you have to shop hungry, buy a snack at the start and eat it on the way round.
No, that's just rude. That's common.
It may look rude, but it's good practical advice. It will stop you wasting money.
Yeah, that's piss poor practice.
Yeah, exactly. So Tesco doesn't want you doing that for two reasons.
You'll get
then.
Chucked out.
Yeah.
But you can pay for it at the end. Yeah, exactly. You just keep the barcode.
That's a fat man talking.
It's just you two being prudes.
No, if you don't get caught.
Big shop prudes.
Peter, this is a political hot potato, mate. We'll have to discuss this after
don't,
the show's
Don't
finished.
Eat a potato on the way around.
Slightly related tip, but slightly different. Tom Grater, I'm sure this has been covered, but always eat a meal before a big shop. Otherwise, you'll just end up with a trolley full of Doritos and custard cream.
Much Similar. Better advice.
I'll say I ate the dips.
Joe Hall, don't be afraid to try new places. The Sainsbury's I know... I now shop at is further away than Asda and Morrison's, but on a weekday evening between 6 and 8, it's almost deserted. Perfect condition
don't
for a
shop. Don't be afraid to try new places.
And I'll finish this one from Patrick Hennigan, who says, big shop tip, do not buy an Albanian flag when moving into a new flat. It's like we could all get behind, Patrick.
So hang on, 6 and 8. Between 6 and 8, that's when everyone's picking up their shopping, isn't it?
Not
to go and cook the evening meal.
Not according to your man.
Yeah. Not in that particular supermarket, in
clearly
the two
not.
Others, perhaps.
Weird.
Yeah.
There we are.
Strange.
That is the end of the Football Ramble this week, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @FootballRamble. And, of course, get yourselves over to the website, thefootballramble.com, for that wonderful article that Kelly wrote.
And
more.
Other
lot more.
There's a forum on there. Get on the forum. There's loads of people chatting about football. It's great.
Yes, yes. We're going to start using the forum a little bit more from next week. So we perhaps have been a little bit quiet on the old forum. So we're going to ramp it up a bit, guys.
Ramp it up.
Don't worry, forumites. I just want to thank a couple of people who attempted to help me try and fix our dirty live show mess when it came to trying to rescue the audio over the last couple of days. So thank you to Matt Wing. Thank you to Stuart McMillan. Thank you to Ian Kerr. Thank you to Michael Lewis and Ed Barbour as well. Ed Barbour's currently having a crack at the full thing. Something might come out of that. Something possibly won't. I don't know. But
you got this one now anyway.
You got this one to plug the gap. And obviously, thank you for everyone who came down.
Very much.
Thank you for the two people who stayed in my house because really? I really am. Do you not know this?
No.
We also put a young lass up in a hotel.
Well,
because no guys are coming to my house.
You did that.
Let's make that very clear.
Honourable.
No, we all paid for it. Don't worry about that.
No, it's an honourable thing to do.
Yeah, it's very good.
What I will say for the next show, I mean, don't just expect us to put you up because that's mental.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we're not getting hotels for everyone.
But hopefully we'll do some shows outside of London.
Yeah.
So we won't be able to put you up.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, people keep tweeting us about that and we really are intending to do that. So, don't worry.
Time. You can enjoy all me trying to play a sperm instrument on stage.
People don't know about your electronics musical sperm.
Yeah, I know. There's loads of stuff they kind of missed out. They missed out on the videos, they missed out on. But, you know,
was their fault for not getting a ticket.
Exactly. So, ready for the next time.
Big thanks, specifically, I know people travelled far and wide, but two chaps from Scotland.
Yeah. There's a couple of people from Wales as well.
A couple of people
Brighton,
from Wales.
A few people from Brighton,
the
Colchester.
Are coming.
Including me.
Northern Ireland, where were you?
Guy from Colombia.
Yeah.
What? No, I just made that up.
Okay.
Sorry. Excellent. I thought that would have been clear.
Luke went on straight after the show. We stayed on for drinks.
Come on, that's rude. Enough. Absolute Radio business.
Yeah. Absolute Radio. We do have a live Barclays Premier League commentary match from 3 o'clock. John Champion and Clark Carlisle in the commentary box once again with a Sex Pistol on the show and also a little bit of Barclays Premier League commentary from 3 o'clock. It is Arsenal versus Hull.
Do you mean a member of the Sex Pistols?
Yes.
Or actual Sex Pistol?
Yeah. Russell is going to get his money out.
Pete. Sperm instrument.
Yeah.
That sounds like a thing we've made up, but I can promise you it's real.
Disappointing performance.
Wonderful. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Nice goodbye from me.
Whoop.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.